You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Coming up on today's episode, we break down a tough game two between the Jets and Avs. As the series shifts out to Denver, all square at one.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. Well, we got ourselves a series, and I don't think it's going to be the short one that we predicted. An excellent start for the team. Looked like the building might blow open, but unfortunately it was Colorado that blew it open with a couple of backbreakers there in the middle period, ultimately leading to the series being tied at one with a 5-2 victory for the Avalanche. It's late at night. So let's get right into it. CJOB's Tyson Rewicki with us once again. And Tyson, it's a tough loss for everybody in the province, but it might be even tougher now that your place is now no longer undefeated. I did believe a 20-0 run was in the cards, but
I did too.
Alas, we stop it at seven.
I really, and like that, you know, when you're on a streak like that, you're on an absolute heater. You don't think the good times are going to end, but all good things come to an end at some point. But now it's just splitting the home and home with the Avs now.
Yep, that that's next on the agenda for the team. And for those interested, Tyson's apartment is up for sale as it's no longer useful. But let's start, instead of looking ahead, let's look back. Game two win for the Colorado Avalanche. A much different game than the back-and-forth goal bonanza that we saw in the series opener. But some common threads kind of emerging through these first two games. And I guess for me, Tyson, the easy one is this. This is a much better Avalanche team than we saw during the regular season in their matchups against the Jets. The Skaters, I should say. The Skaters of the Avs, they've come to play in a big way. And we didn't see their speed hurt the Jets in the regular season. And that's kind of becoming the big issue for the team right now is, they're having a difficult time limiting the shots against, whether it is 5-on-5 or on the power play here. And they're having some troubles dealing with how the Avs attack both on the rush and inside the offensive zone, which I think we'll get to a little bit later. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to be leading on my Jets in five prediction, sadly, anymore. You feeling the same way after two games?
Yeah, I'm going to push it to six instead now.
I'll push it to six too, yeah.
But and now it's Colorado's got the advantage going back home to Colorado. They have the altitude. I mean, how big of a factor that'll play, that's to be decided. But I'm super interested to see how Colorado's going to match up against the Jets with the last change. I'm really intrigued to see kind of what they do, what kind of matchups they're hunting for, because,
well, the obvious one would be getting McKinnon away from Lowry. You would think, at least.
Absolutely. And I mean, we could get into this a little bit more after, but I just wonder too if that means that maybe we see more of Morrissey with Scheifele coming in with in games 3 and 4. But man, the speed in this game was just a factor. It was. There was too many times where Avalanche players were getting the puck after kind of a scramble out in the O zone or the clear zone exit by the Avs, and they were just beating guys on with their speed, whether it would be straight line speed getting past the defenseman or dumping it in and just winning puck battles. It was, I think in this one too, it clearly shows that there absolutely needs to be a change in the D lineup, whether it's one or two guys, for sure one, obviously. And I think we all know who I'm talking about here after that game. I think we all got a little bit too excited after game one and after the regular season series. And, you know, Colorado's won a cup before. Like, these guys aren't just going to go away that easily. And, you know, I actually thought the Jets were playing a pretty good, solid, I'd say 30 minutes of the game. And then two really big mistakes just cost them. And it's more so just lack of communication mistakes too, not skill mistakes. And so you clean that up, and I mean, you erased two goals and we're heading to overtime.
Yeah, it was those final two goals, at least, you know, excluding the empty netter, but the third and the fourth goal are just, oh, those ones kill you. Or Hellebuyck, we haven't seen a Hellebuyck puck handling mistake in quite some time. There's a freebie. And then, I mean, we didn't really get a great angle on this, but man, it seemed to me like Manson was just way too far ahead of Vilardi. Was way too far behind Manson there. He might have been cheating a little bit, you know, thinking offense. Vilardi was, as opposed to, you know, shadowing his guy coming out of the box there. And that's why there was that separation. But it's just two backbreakers there that can happen and were easily avoidable by the Jets. Those are the ones that kill you, especially, like, whatever, the Hellebuyck thing happens. It happens sometimes. But that, giving up a goal with 6 seconds left, yeah, I don't know. I didn't think the Jets were coming back after that one. It's just so, so deflating to give up a goal like that. And then two-goal deficit as opposed to just one shot tying it.
Well, and even, I mean, Vilardi, yeah, he's quite a bit behind him, but I still think that there was a lot of time for those D-men to get back. I mean, Ehlers turns the puck over, but falls down, and there's a little bit of a scrum there. The puck gets caught in his equipment, and then there's some line changing going on. Just a lot of guys kind of caught in quicksand there. I just thought it was just a lack of awareness, thinking, you know, there's 15 seconds left on the clock. You think it's just going to, play's just going to wind down, and we'll go into the third period down one goal, but you can't. Can't snooze for a second in the playoffs, and that's what happened there.
Yeah, he can't hit that button against the Avs either. I mean, good God, Manson looks like freaking Cam Neely coming in there. It's a nice move. I'll give him credit, but like,
and I just wanted to say too, because we were talking about the Hellebuyck blunder, but he's got to be a lot better too. This game, like, this really wasn't a great game for Hellebuyck, in my opinion.
Okay, I mean, look, yeah, the third goal can happen, no doubt about that. The first two by Colorado in this one, you have the, where is my sheet here?
The face off to Miles Wood off the draw. Yeah.
And then the Lekkonen goal, deflection. Which was a deflection.
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously not on him, but
yeah, I don't know if I don't know if I blame him on
I don't, of those. I really don't like that first goal.
Yeah, but I mean, that was kind of bang, bang through bodies. It gets it, like, before you even have time to react, it gets through you there. Maybe the breakaway you would like to stop, but I mean, Manson did make a pretty good move. I get what you're saying, though, right? Where it's like, but like, this is the problem on, you know, leaning on Vezina level performances night in, night out, is you're going to have fluctuations there. I think he's been all right. Yeah, so maybe you're right, Tyson. So he hasn't been bad, but he's going to need to be better.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of what you're saying, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I totally get. And then those kind of scrambles are so hard to pick a puck off of. But it's more so the fact that off a face-off like that, you would like to see a little bit more preparedness. You know what I mean? It wasn't a hard shot either. No. It was, you know, kind of deflected, which made it played a factor in that as well. But I just think, you know, his stick's not on the ice. He just wasn't ready for it. And I think that it's that kind of ties in with the third goal a little bit too. It's just you can't just have those moments where you doze off. I don't want to say doze off, but where you just lose concentration for a split second. Like those are what ends up costing you in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the whole game, it wasn't like the Jets played bad or anything.
No.
It's just these fine margins here or there that, and hockey's a crazy game like that. Like, it's like a couple of bounces, a couple of inches here and there, and that can turn a 5-2 Avalanche victory into maybe the game heading into OT and the Jets having new life, right? So, I think that game overall, Tyson, was just, you know, there was the stat on the broadcast. There are 11 players remaining from that Avalanche Cup winning team on this year's roster. That's a championship team showing their mettle. Like, that's really what it was. Their backs were, you know, not totally against the wall, but it was bordering on must-win territory there. And they just elevated their game a little bit, and they did just enough to squeak past the Jets in that one. I'll give Georgiev credit too. Especially early on, it looked like, oh boy, here we go again. But he made some decent saves there. And I mean, that's a major game changer for the Avs. If he can just be good for them, that makes this a long series. So I was impressed by the bounce back from Georgiev. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't think the Jets played bad. It was just the Avs made one or two more plays more than Winnipeg in that one, and that's how you end up with that victory. Tell you what too, Tice, I don't know if you felt this way, but after the Jets made it 2-1 with that borderline legendary penalty kill, and then you score that beauty right after it, my thought was, there's no way they're losing this game.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a shift like that, a sequence like that, and go ahead in the whiteout barn and find a way to lose it. I was pretty surprised that the Jets couldn't, you know, maybe push it a little more in that second period when they had the Avs on the ropes. That might have been the big opportunity missed by the Jets there. Was you make it a 2-goal lead, it's going to be tough for Colorado to push their way through that. That might have been the turning point, was that Lehkonen deflection goal right after that. And then from there, Colorado took control in the middle frame. Yeah. So heading into game three, oh, you have a thought on that?
Well, I was just going to mention that, I mean, the Connor post to Georgiev cheating a little bit and you just miss on that thing. That changes the game too. I did just want to mention too that I texted you this earlier in the game, but whoever is working the Sportsnet soundboard, do your job and turn the crowd noise up a little bit. It aggravates me so much because you listen to the ESPN clips and the crowd is just erupting. Like, that building was so loud, they're guaranteed, and it sounded like you could hear a pin drop on the Sportsnet broadcast. Like, it's not the fans' problem that your announcers can't talk over the crowd noise. Like, sorry, but that's just a minor gripe. Not a minor gripe, but a gripe I have with
good. The good. No, let it out. Everyone's in a pissy mood out of the Jets loss. I got a pet peeve too. That's a bad one. I mean, and we all, anybody that's been in the rink knows it's deafening. And it should play out that way when you're watching it on TV. My thing, Tyson, is what time did it say that the game started on Tuesday night?
8:30.
So why in the F are we dropping the puck at 8:52? How freaking hard is it if you have something set at 8:30 to drop the puck shortly after 8:30? It's insane. I mean, the start time was ridiculous, too. The NHL cost the Jets game too. I'm going to say that right now with that 8:30 start time. I mean, your internal clock's all messed up. If you're Winnipeg, you can't prepare. You can't compete in conditions like this. So, and Kim John Bettman actually got the Avs right back into this series.
Did you just call him? KJB.
KJB.
I don't even know what I was gonna say something, but yeah, I completely forgot. Oh, it was they even heard that, hey, the puck, it's listed at 8:30, but by the way, puck drop's gonna be 8:45. Wink wink, nudge nudge. And then they didn't even do that right.
Yeah. There's just no need for it. I mean, the biggest league on the planet finds a way to get games starting when they say they're gonna start. soccer starts the games on time. Like, just do everything 10 minutes earlier. It's really not that difficult. But yeah, we're all in a bad mood. So we can complain about little things like that.
I still KGV's at all time. I was
I don't even know why. I don't know why. It's just pissed. I don't like being up this late. Like, I'm gonna be up in like 4 hours now for no reason other than this 8:30 start. 8:50 start, I should say. Now, as we kind of, you know, look at the game, and we've had two games under our belts now, so we've got a little bit more of a sample size as to what to expect in this series. There's a few things that I think need to be changed, both, I guess, stylistically and expectation-wise, as well as roster composition-wise for the Jets in this one. There's kind of three big things for me, Tyson. The first being, you know, if Winnipeg wants to send this back to Winnipeg, potentially in a series clinching game, but at the very least grab one win in Denver, there's going to have to be a pretty concerted effort in the offensive, or I guess in Winnipeg's defensive zone, to find a way to limit Colorado's chances up high in the offensive zone. They're doing a lot of their damage, and it's why it's always kind of weird too, like, to not to blame a goalie, but to look at the numbers and be like, oh, he's not playing very good. But I mean, how many of the Avs' goals so far this series have come from a shot up high, right? They're like, it's not like they're right in the slot area or they're getting greasy ones down low. There is a lot of action coming right in and around the blue line, and they're getting deflections or pucks are either finding their way through. The Avs do this maybe more uniquely than any other team in the NHL. Winnipeg's going to have to find a way to pressure them a little bit higher in the offensive zone there and try to make life difficult instead of focusing so much on, hey, what can we do in front of Hellebuck? It should be a little more, how can we limit the shots getting through that first wave of defense and, you know, making life a little more difficult on Makar and company, even McKinnon. They love to bring that third forward up high into the middle. And I think they've been pretty successful so far at getting a ton of action towards Hellebuck doing that. So that's probably the one big area that I'll be intrigued to see if Winnipeg finds a way to neutralize a little bit. Number two for me is in terms of line changes or player changes, new faces coming in, things like that. The big one for me isn't even necessarily changing up the lines. I think Connor Schlafly and Vilardi have been pretty good. They've been much better than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
They've been their best line, I would argue. So I don't think I'm looking to change anything there. I don't know if I'm looking to change anything with the forward core as a whole, Tyson. It's just, quite frankly, they need way, way more from that entire second line.
Absolutely.
Every single one of those players. It's not, I mean, people might blame just Nikolai Ehlers for that, but Monahan hasn't had much of an impact so far. Toffoli has looked invisible through two games. I mean, all three of those guys, if they can get two of the three to elevate their game, that's going to go a long way to the Jets picking up at least a win in Denver there. But to me, it's more so you don't even need any sort of big roster change. It's just, we need a little more of you guys. Like, there's got to be a little more jump, a little more energy inside the offensive zone. It just feels like they're kind of out there right now, and they're not creating a whole lot of anything. So that's going to be the biggest thing that the team needs to see a big-time boost in, is that second-line performance. And then finally for me, Tice, I mean, Logan Stanley just had a really, really rough two games, and I just think the decision's easy. I mean, you put Nate Schmidt in over him. Sandberg and Schmidt had a hell of a season together, and that's that. I don't think that's why the Jets lost game two, but we're talking about fine margins here, right? And so that could potentially be the thing that might shift, you know, a big play in game three. Or, hey, maybe you're spending two more minutes in the offensive zone because Schmidt and Sandberg were able to get the puck out, and that led to a power play that gave the Jets, you know what I mean? So it's little things like that where, you know, whatever. They tried Stanley with Sandberg. To me, it's been a complete bust so far this postseason. Go back to what's worked. And I think changing the third pair, getting more out of the second line, and then putting an emphasis on limiting those point shots from the Avalanche would go a long way into the Jets picking up at least a win out there in Colorado.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on all 3 points, and just I'm interested to see how they do that with the defense for Colorado, because like you mentioned, they're active all along the blue line, switching positions, and I think you just have to have a more concerted effort at protecting that area of the ice. I mean, if you're not going to tie up guys in front and stop deflections from happening, and I know it's kind of sometimes just a crapshoot with deflections, but you know, if you're not going to be stopping those, then stop the root of the problem and attack the puck carrier at the blue line, be a little bit more aggressive. I think that's what you have to do, especially since there's not a whole lot of movement down low though from their D-men. It's all on the top, so I know you don't have to worry about getting outmanned down below the hash marks sort of thing. So that's going to be the matchup now going forward for the Jets, is how are you going to be able to stop that decor and stop them from activating offense from up high. On the second line, I agree with you 100% too. Like, I mean, Toffoli and Monahan have really just been complete non-factors besides Monahan's face-off wins. Like, that's kind of the only positive I've seen from him. Toffoli, nothing. That's like, it's really, I mean, maybe his injury is still kind of affecting him a little bit. But for me, this is where I understand where some of the discourse for Nick Ehlers comes in, because the past 2 games you've seen it, he has the puck and it just seems like his feet are moving at 100 miles an hour and his head just isn't keeping up with it. And you know, when the checking gets a little bit tighter and guys are coming at you a little bit quicker, it seems like he hasn't quite adjusted to that split second less that you have in the playoffs. And he gets put, and when guys start to check him, he just tries and he throws the puck around and he puts guys in bad spots. Like, especially in the third period there was that one where he looked like he was going to come in with a whole bunch of speed and then he got pressured right around the red line. And he put Neil Pionk in a really bad spot. Like, that could have been a breakaway the other way. And those are the frustrations that we see, is that it's too much one man show on that line right now. And whether that be because the other two are being too ineffective right now, or Nick Ehlers is trying to do much, I think there's a little bit of truth to both of those. I mean, they just got to figure it out. They got to play a more simpler game. They've had a lot of chances to get the puck on net and they just haven't done it in certain situations. So I think that's something that they need to key in on. And I mean, we don't have to add more about Logan Stanley. You're right. He's had a really two rough games. He's trying to impose a physical presence in the lineup, and that's great when you're doing it effectively. He is not doing that effectively now. He's chasing hits near the hash marks, close to the goal line. Like, that reverse hit, that was great. It looked great, but they kept the puck in immediately after because he didn't move the puck 2 seconds earlier so he could hit the guy, right? Like, it's those fine mistakes that can come back to bite you in the playoffs. And I thought Sandberg bounced back after a rough game one from him, and so
he was a beast on the penalty kill.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought he kind of settled in a little bit more puck moving wise. I felt especially as the game went on, and so I think you absolutely have to go back to Schmidt and Sandberg. It's a no brainer, and if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be absolutely shocked.
I would think, yeah, I would think the change is, well, I don't know. I'm just surprised they did it in the first place, because Nate Schmidt's been in and out of the lineup and he's been one of their most consistent players all year. Like, it's been in sheltered minutes, but it's bizarre to me that you wouldn't, especially on a third pair in the playoffs, you wouldn't lean on a veteran presence like a Schmidt, or maybe even like a Colin Miller, who knows where he's in the pecking order right now. On the positive side though, Tyson, the fourth line has just been unreal. They've been so good. I mean, Nemestikov in game one was kind of the hero. You have the Gus Bus getting things started here in the first period of game two. They've been great. And if I was to look at making a change at all in the lineup, I would think long and hard about swapping Nemestikov and Toffoli, which is not something I would have thought of going into this series. But Nemestikov's been flying every time he's out there on the ice. And if the goal drought continues to happen for the Jets, say heading into the second or third period, you wonder if that's maybe the first domino that falls, is to get Vladdy a little more ice time, because right now he looks like he's got it. But we'll see what Bones and company have in mind. And hey, maybe line number two erupts and we don't have to talk about shaking things up as the Jets hold a 2-1 series lead. But we'll look at that and worry about that when it comes here, because, well, we've got a few days before we get back at it with the series shifting out west to the Rockies, with the Jets taking on the Avalanche Friday night at 9. KJP strikes again. This is just outlandish. Can't live like this. I guess it's a Friday night, but I mean, I got two little ones. Okay, well, whatever. I'll tough it out. We'll figure something out.
Have a couple. Have a couple of beverages.
Yeah, there's gonna have to be some bevies. there's just no two ifs, ands, or buts about it. Well, we'll find a way to power through though. But that's where our focus will shift to next. And that's where we will wrap up today's episode as we tick a little bit closer to midnight here. So let's call it a night and we'll move on with our day. Any parting thoughts, Tyson? You looked like you were about to say something there. No?
I'll refrain.
Yeah, probably for the best. Well, we'll stop it there. Well, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Skates and Plates of the Hockey Podcast Network. Before things go completely off the rails, but appreciate you guys stopping by once again. Like we said, we'll get back at it and break down Game 3, a pivotal Game 3 for the Jets and Avs. That one should be out sometime Saturday. We'll see if it's an early Saturday morning or maybe a Saturday afternoon release. But either way, we'll have an episode coming out to break down that matchup, and then for sure have one Sunday night as the Jets and Avs play an afternoon game. Much better Sunday in Game 4. But we'll be back at it on the weekend to recap Jets-Avs Game 3. Until then, though, hope you guys enjoy the rest of your work week. Stay safe and have a great time, everybody. We'll talk to you in a few days. Jets-Avs tied at 1. We'll break down Game 3 for you guys in a little bit. Peace.